Amen. All right. Can you guys hear me okay? Give me a thumbs up. Okay, great. Awesome. Great. Well, I'm super excited to be able to talk to you all tonight. I hope you're excited about the 8 classes that will be coming up over the next, I believe it's 9 weeks. I'm really excited to be able to talk to you. And today, I'm just going to tell you that I want to talk to you. I might spill into some preaching at you a little bit, but I really want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk about, just some things that I think we really want to be aware of as Christians, as we continue to walk with Jesus. And, I'm excited to see what God is going to do over these next 9 weeks, but 8 classes, because I believe God is going to really move our hearts. We're going to be covering topics that are very relevant today to really everyone in a general sense, but I think especially relevant to this generation here today. You guys are Gen Zers for the most part. I know there's a few millennials in here as well. But these are very, very relevant issues. And I want to share just a little bit personally about my journey, even into these topics and this kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. Last year, when the pandemic started and, we had opportunities to have a lot of different conversations, and I made it a point to really try to talk to as many Gen Z millennial types and just ask them like, hey, what are you seeing? What do you think we should talk more about? What are some of the topics that you think we should talk about? And to be honest, I also talk to Gen Zers and millennials outside of my ministry as well. So I didn't want to just only get the perspective of just my particular church, but I wanted to think and kind of hear from other folks as well from outside of Central Jersey and just hear, okay, well, what are the things that are most on your heart? What do you want to talk about? And I learned a lot. I really, really learned a lot. I'm going to share a couple of the things that I think I learned through this process that I think will be helpful for you to know. I talked to so many that were frustrated because there were things happening all around the world, things that their peers would discuss at school. And a lot of times there wasn't a space to have those discussions in church. And it wasn't really something that was like a topic that would even be brought up. As I heard it and I listened to it, I said, that's fair. I think that's a fair critique. I get it. And, I had to really take that in. From a church leader's perspective, one of the things that happens with these kind of things is always a concern that if we start delving into all these topics, that people will just get so wrapped up in it that they'll forget about the mission and they'll just get so distracted and just want to be around just talking about issues all day long. And perhaps could even lead into just division, because there's so many different opinions about so many different things. And so from a church leader's perspective, it can be very tricky to delve into these spaces and talk about these issues. But what I also learned was this. If we as Christians, and I'm going to say specifically for myself as a church leader, right? As a church leader, if I do not provide or teach the Christian perspective to today's issues, the narrative will end up being set by the world. And that really honestly convicted me. See, because what we'll have is we'll have disciples reasoning not from a biblical perspective. Many times what you see is disciples, they're reasoning from a worldly perspective, a perspective that they learned from school or even politics. And, you know, I'm going to keep it real with you. I apologize to my group. I said, you know what? That's not good. I wish you didn't do that. But you know what? Bad on me. I never taught you. And, you know, different church leaders and region leaders have done different things. I'm just speaking for myself. I had to own that. I had to own that I didn't really delve into. There's some areas we dove right into. But we didn't talk about politics ever until this past year. We avoided it. And you know what I realized is that avoiding these issues doesn't really help anybody. And I don't want God's people to be running around like people in the world with worldly reasoning when there's a very real Christian perspective on all these issues. And so the reality is, you know, we did a series for, we opened it up and we got a bunch of millennial and Gen Zs and we talked everything. We talked abortion, politics, race, LGBTQ. We talked about everything. And, you know, I remember at the end, you know, a lot of the, and some of the students are on here now, they'll tell you, they just said, wow, thank you. No one's ever taught us this. We've never really discussed. I didn't even really know the Christian perspective. And, you know, I just, for me, I feel like I know I needed to really repent and go after these issues. And so we've been doing this. We did this series back in the summer. That's when kind of we delved into this stuff and really got into it. And so, you know, so this 8-week series is kind of, you know, some of the stuff that we did. And we've sprinkled in some new things that I think, you know, in meeting with some of the New York staff that they felt was important and said, hey, you know what, I'm with you, let's go for it. So that's what we did. And so I want you to know that, you know, part of this is very personal for me because I want all of you to have a Christian perspective on these issues. I don't want you to feel like you don't have a perspective to offer that comes from the Bible. I don't want you to feel like the only thing you could go on is what you learned at school and what you learned at your sociology class or what your favorite politician said. Now, you can learn a lot of great things in the world, a lot of great things. I'm not even disputing that. But what I'm saying, there's a very real Christian perspective on all these issues. And if we claim to be Christians, we can't fold into the world. We've got to really embrace what the Bible teaches us. And so my prayer is that, you know, we're going to look at some of these issues and really look at them from a Christian perspective. If you're looking for the perspective that's going to agree with your sociology class, you're probably not going to get that in this 8-week series. What you are going to get is we're going to talk about, well, this is the Christian stance on this. This is how we look at this stuff according to the Bible. And then this is how we reason through it. And so that's what this is going to be about. Now, let me tell you something that I love about your generation. What I love about your generation is that you guys do not want to settle for the status quo. You don't want to just settle for the way things are. You don't want to just do things just because this is the way we always did it and somebody told you to do it. Yeah, honestly, I personally appreciate that. I don't think you should settle for the status quo. I think you should be actively engaged in making God's church a glorious church. I think it should matter to you. I think you should care about what is the Christian perspective. And so we really want to think about how can we really be active in this and do it in a productive way. And so I love the idea and I love that desire to really want to address and really want to not settle for the status quo. You know, because of this, I have hopes for the church in the future. Because I see, okay, you know what? They wanna do big things. They really want to see things be different. And I get hopeful for that. But you know, however, there are also some things that concern me when we approach these issues. You know, sometimes people, they just want to be heard, but they don't really want to hear the truth of what the Bible teaches. They just want to be heard. That's not the way that Jesus would want us to be. We've got to align ourselves with Scripture. But you know, there are some things, you know, for example, the approach. You know, sometimes when I examine social media or I listen to conversations or I have discussions with people on specific issues, the approach and how people engage the issues themselves, that's what concerns me. It's not even necessarily always the stance on the issue. It's how we engage the issues that really concern me. And I really want to talk specifically about that tonight. Before I really get into the rest of our lesson, I really wanted to have a sister share to illustrate what I really want to talk about. I think it's always great when we can have a very real example of someone that can really illustrate you know, some of the things I think I really want us to be thinking about as we go through this series. And so what I've done is I've invited a sister from our Central Jersey Campus Ministry. Her name is Liz Jimenez. And I invited her to share a personal story that she experienced last summer and that I think would be very helpful to understanding, I think, what I really want to address tonight. And so if we could spotlight Liz, and Liz can share with us her story.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much, Johnny, for opening us up with that. For those of you who don't know, my name is Liz. And tonight, in setting up this topic a little bit, I just wanted to share a time in my life recently where I was really tempted to conform to the world instead of following Jesus' example in this area. So a couple months ago, I was scrolling through Instagram, as always, and I guess it's kind of a new trend to create like Instagram threads, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but if you don't know, an Instagram thread is basically when people communicate really dense messages or ideas by chopping them up into separate images and threading them together in a multiple picture post. So, for example, someone could take like the main points of tonight's message and throw them into a post so that people could share it really quickly on social media to their stories and kind of get the gist of what we are talking about tonight. I actually think it's a really, really effective way to share things. And many times I'll scroll just for like a few minutes on Instagram and see like 10 of my friends have shared like the same post on their story. And by the end of that, I'm like, I'm getting ready to share it myself. And so anyways, there's one day over the summer where I was scrolling and I came across a post and it was like really spicy. And like this, I feel like the spicier a topic is, the more times it's usually shared. And so this post was shared by a disciple in a completely different part of like the United States. But the first picture that caught my eye, it said, "Dear church." And then as I scrolled through the thread, the following slides had text that were supposedly describing these different issues within the church. So, and it was just a church. It didn't like specify a specific one. But for example, it said something like, "Dear church, we need to stop gaslighting our members and invalidating their mental health struggles and their hurts." I think there's another one that said something like, "Dear church, we need to stop using scriptures out of context and creating an environment based on guilt." Something along those lines. And needless to say, as I was reading those things, I couldn't help but feel like, this is horrible. Like the church sounds really horrible. And it is true. Like the church should not be gaslighting its members, right? And I was thinking like, wow, like it just seems like there's a lot of hurt going on in the church. And like, I'm scared about these issues with the ICOC, you know, I was just having all these questions and fear. There was a lot of fear and some judgment, honestly. And I just felt such an indignation, righteous indignation about all of it. I felt like the need to react and just process my, it just brought up such like heavy feelings. I felt really triggered and I like reacted emotionally as if I was the victim of that post, of that church abuse. But then suddenly it was the Spirit nudging my heart and kind of snapping me back into reality. And I was like, wait a minute. The more I really think about it, I've never actually personally experienced the things mentioned in this post. That was one thought. And then another thought was like, okay, well, like, let's just say hypothetically, I had experienced these things. Like, what would I do? What could I do? If I was hurt by someone in the church like this, and then I was like, okay, well, the Bible's pretty clear about how to handle hurt. Matthew 18 is just one example about handling things directly and privately. And then I thought about like, okay, well, what if someone came to me expressing these things? What would I do? What could I do? And I would agree, you know, I would listen to them. I would agree like what they're experiencing is really messed up if that's what they were going through. And then I could encourage them, you know, to talk to those people directly and handle that biblically. And there is a plan for those kinds of things. And so in a way that honors God and his intentions for the church. And, you know, I don't know the full story behind that post. I don't know the heart behind the person who shared it. But I was just wondering, you know, if they had experienced those things for themselves, or, you know, maybe they were reacting similarly to me, joining a bandwagon of sharing posts that ultimately could make someone question their faith and plant a seed of doubt and mistrust where there isn't a need to. Or, you know, maybe that person felt like they were doing the web a favor by spreading the bad news and bringing awareness. But speaking for myself, it didn't build my faith. It wasn't building my faith. It was really building my fear. And I think about like, what if someone who had experienced those things had seen it and it was relevant to them, you know, I can't speak for how they would react, but something tells me that there is a wiser way to handle these instances away from social media. The one scripture I want to share with you guys is in 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 10. It reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And so my question for you guys, but also for me, and I had to ask myself this in checking my heart through the scripture, is when you're feeling anxious or hurt or confused, what do you tend to cast your anxieties on? I think social media can be a big one. And I'm sure we can all relate and know just how easy it is to get carried away, to get addicted to social media. But God, he calls us to have self-control, not to be controlled by these things. And the truth is that the algorithm does not care about you, does not care about your mental health, does not care about your healing. All it cares about is that you keep scrolling and seeing things that you look at for like long periods of time. I'm pretty sure there's like documentaries on that. It's pretty alarming. But this scripture says, cast your anxieties on him, on God. You know, with social medias, there are pros and there's cons, but as disciples, like, this is our opportunity. Now that everything's kind of like online, this is our opportunity to be a light. So I definitely want to encourage us all to just be thinking about how we can do that. Another thing that I feel like we can go to cast our anxieties on is people. And I'm a huge extrovert. So I know like we're all made for connection. God designed us in this way. And God's word shows us how to create a safe environment to share our pain. This scripture talks about how the same kinds of suffering are experienced by the body throughout the world. Like, that's so cool. That's so encouraging. And the word teaches us how to seek counsel, how to process our emotions, ask for prayers, go to the word together, spur one another on. But this scripture also talks about being sober-minded, being watchful. You know, are you someone who struggles with gossiping, with unleashing your emotions and thoughts without looking for a spiritual solution? And I praise God for making me an emotional person. If you feel like you're an emotional person, I'm with you. It's part of what makes me who I am. But I'll be the first to admit, you know, I can get easily led by my emotions. And something that's been really helpful for me to stay on the narrow path and off the bandwagon is seeking wise counselors. And so if you know me and you've talked to me, you already know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm talking about when I mentioned my hashtag frontal lobe squad. And I'll explain this. So in my household growing up, I love my parents. If I ever told them about a seemingly unwise thing that I was planning to do, and you know, I threw in the line, but I got advice, you know, so it's approved. Their follow-up question would immediately be, okay, well, does this person have a fully developed frontal lobe though? And my parents are funny. This, I'm not even joking. This is a legitimate question. This is essentially their way of asking me, like, was this person like over old enough, you know, not your peer, over the age of 26, for all my science people out there. If frontal lobe, decision-making area in your head. When it's not fully developed, you're more likely to make impulsive decisions, all that stuff. So they wanted to know, like, am I getting advice from more than people who are just my peers who could be in the same boat as me and not maybe not have a full view perspective? And by no means, I'm not saying that peer advice is bad, because every part of the body is so special. And we know that, but what I am saying is, because every part of the body is special, I know it's a tendency for this generation, for me, and I hear this all the time, you know, we're the woke ones. We got to ignore these old school boomers who aren't aware of how things work today. Old school. But I'm so serious when I say that this mindset is so dangerous. Like, I had to repent in this. It's serious, you know? Talk to me afterwards. I'll share with you all the times that God has humbled me in my pride that I know what's best, you know? I'm in it. But this mindset keeps me stuck in getting advice from people who will agree with me, who see things the way that I do, and tell me what my itching ears want to hear, and keep me from seeking the well-rounded counsel that God intended for me to live a life to the full with prudence. And my peers did not teach me what the word prudence means, by the way. That was my frontal lobe squad. So you aren't alone if you do struggle with this. And I just want to encourage you guys tonight to cast your anxieties on God. He cares for you, and he cares about the things that are going on in the church, and it's his church, you know, and his word is clear about how to handle all of the experiences and instances. So thanks. That's all I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Liz. Really appreciate that. And let me just hold up Liz for a second here. You know, she volunteered that story. You know, she got together with my wife for a discipling time, and she says, hey, I just want to share something that I experienced. And you know, she didn't have to say it. No one would know it. But my video's not good. Is that what Aaron is communicating? My bandwidth is low. But yeah, I think, you know, she didn't have to volunteer that information. And I was just really encouraged that she was able to communicate that and really put herself out there. And I'm really grateful, Liz, for you to be able to do that. And it's exemplary, honestly, for you to do that. But, you know, I really wanted her to be able to share. First of all, Paris, I'm not a boomer. I'm a Gen Xer. So let's get that straight. I'm Gen X, just to be clear. You know, I think, you know, one, the obvious point is I think we've got to be careful when we use social media. I don't think social media should be used to communicate what ails the church. It's just not a great medium to do that. You know, the truth is, it's so easy to be misunderstood on social media, or even on text, by the way. It's so easy to be misunderstood. You know, I've seen good-hearted posts get completely misinterpreted. And so you got to really think about, is social media the place to be addressing what ails the church? I've read posts before where someone posts something that's going on, and people, I see disciples come out of the woodwork to start complaining. Oh yeah, they throwing gasoline on it. And I'm like, man, why does this attract so much attention? But let somebody post something positive if you find it about the church, and you get crickets. And there's a reason for that. And I think you got to really examine your own hearts. You know, the truth is, whether you want to accept it or not, in school, you're conditioned to operate this way. You're conditioned to mistrust institutions and authority. So you know what? Many times I see it, like, I could just count on it. Like, negative posts, boy, this is like, people are gonna flock to it. And as Christians, we gotta ask ourselves why. I've seen situations where, yes, postmodernism is exactly what that's called. I've seen posts where someone says they're airing out some church situation, and I'm reading the post, and then there are other people chiming in like, yeah, you know, I can't believe they're doing that. They're just going in. Meanwhile, I know, I happen to know the other side. And I'm just watching this. I'm like, they don't know the other side. They have no idea. And this is where, you know, just social media can be so dangerous, because you know what? You know what I never see? When somebody has an emotional moment, I don't ever see the follow-up post a week later that says, hey, last week, my bad. You know, I said some crazy stuff. Maybe they're out there. I just don't see them. There's not a cleanup. Everybody's left with what you put out there. Is that really what Jesus would want you doing? I think today, the in thing to do is just tear down. You see it all around. You see the politics demonize other people, the other side. Well, if they vote this way, they're just straight evil. If they vote that way, they're just plain ignorant. I mean, it's just that this is what people do. This is what the world does. And we have to really think about, is this the way that God would want us to conduct ourselves? You know, there's a lot of people that they want to get online and they want to be the first to put something out there. They want to be that Facebook prophet. I'm going to put out there because I'm going to be that person that speaks truth to power, and I want to be that person. And everyone's going to light up my comments, and they're going to put all a bunch of likes. And there's some people that just do that. They want to be the first to put the truth, whatever they believe the truth is. You know, and I'm reminded, Proverbs 18, verse 17 says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this. It says, there are two sides to every story. The first one to speak sounds true until you hear the other side, and they set the record straight. You know, we've got to be aware. Sometimes people throw stuff out there and you just don't know. Yes, Proverbs 18, verse 17. There's a rush to be out there, to be the first person to put this and put that out there. Now listen, there are a lot of folks doing really positive things online. And if that's you, then this doesn't apply to you. What I'm cautioning you is to be careful to not get sucked in to the negativity that is permeating out there. It's all over the place. Be careful that you don't slip into that. Because sometimes, this is why I think we have to really think about this. Sometimes these things are very subtle. Sometimes it's not like, you know, they just kind of subtly, we just operate that way. Kind of like what Liz said, you know, she read the post and then she found herself like, yeah, this is messed up. Like, yeah, this shouldn't be happening. And then she reached the point where she said, well, wait a second, this never happened to me. Well, wait a second, did they follow Matthew 18? And so you start to see that subtly, sometimes we slip into a very worldly mindset of looking at different things and how we approach issues today. And sometimes we don't realize just how influenced we are by the world, or even how we view the church. And I want to share this passage with you. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm actually just going to share it on the screen. But you could turn to it as well. And it's Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 to 27. So the Bible says here, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, let me stop there. You might be thinking, well, man, I mean, what are we talking about husbands and wives about here? Well, what I want you to really note here is what's being said. In this passage, essentially, you know, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus here, essentially, he's saying that the church is the bride of Christ. I want you to really think about this. The church is the bride of Christ. So I want to work on it. Let's think about that dynamic for a second. Imagine being at a wedding and the bride is walking down the aisle and, you know, people just start getting up for everyone to hear. They start saying, man, the bride's dress is ugly. Oh my goodness, what was she thinking? Why is she wearing that? Imagine somebody else gets up. Yeah, I mean, her makeup, who did that? It looks terrible. I can't believe she came here with that makeup. Imagine, you know, somebody's like, yeah, when she walked down the aisle, her breath was kicking. I mean, this would be insane. It'd be insane to think about that. But imagine for a second what the groom would be thinking. What would that groom be thinking? I mean, let's be honest. If it were me, I'd want to punch somebody in the face. You're not going to talk about my wife like that. I'm not saying that. Let me just be clear, because I don't want y'all running with this. I'm not saying that's the righteous response. I'm just telling you what I'd be thinking. Okay? I know how this works. Next thing you know, it gets on social media that Johnny Rivera, an elder, said, you know, he would want to punch somebody in the face. I didn't say that. But I think if I'm being real, that's what I would feel. That's what I would want to do. Because I wouldn't want anybody putting down my bride that way. Paris, I'm from Brooklyn. I was converted in Queens. I don't know, every time I look at the chat box, Paris is just throwing stuff in, and I always catch Paris's crazy comments. But I want you to think about this. I mean, it's insane when we think about this. You wouldn't do that. You would not want to do that and speak of a bride in that way. You just wouldn't do it. But you know, when you read this passage, I want you to think about what is being said here about Jesus and his bride, which is the church. This is what Jesus, it says about Jesus. Jesus died to make the church holy, to cleanse her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus died for that. Jesus died to make the church holy, to wash it through the word, not through your worldly ideas, not through what your sociology professor taught you, but through the word of God. This is how Jesus wants him to present his church. He wants to present the church as holy and blameless. The church is Jesus's bride. So I want you to think about this question. When you tear down the church, whose work are you really doing? When you tear down the church, whose work are you really doing? Have you been building up the church or tearing it down? Now, let me be clear. I doubt, seriously, I hope not. I doubt anyone on this call would intentionally want to tear down the church. I doubt it. I pray that I'm right, that no one on this call would intentionally do that. But I 100% believe and have seen people do it without even realizing that they're just tearing down the church. They think they're just speaking truth or being honest. That's what they think they're doing. But they're tearing down the church. And you know what? That's 101 postmodernism. Don't trust any institution or any authority and tear it down. If you're not careful, and the reason I bring this up is, if you're not careful, you will end up treating the church like any other earthly institution. You'll start thinking, oh, well, yeah, well, the way to do this is how we do it. We tear the church down. Now, we don't say tear the church down. We say, well, we start to just, we got to bring this out and just, who cares if it's destructive? We gotta go for it. We got to deal with this stuff. And I want to ask you, is that the way you think Jesus wants you to talk about his bride? And I'm going to throw a second part to that. If you're part of the church, when you talk about the church, I joke around this about in Central Jersey, so they've heard this a million times. When you talk about the church and you're part of the church, do you realize you're talking about yourself in the third person? Like people who are not well do that. Like you're seriously, when you're talking about the church, what, are you not part of the church? Oh, no, you're only part of the church when it's time for Jesus to come back and it's time to be saved. You're only part of the church when you get baptized. But when things are going wrong, oh, you don't know nobody. You're gone. You don't know these people. Who put these people here with me? I don't know who they are. Is that family? Is that how family's supposed to be? Or do we stick together and say, hey, you know, we need to work on some things here? Now you might be thinking, but Johnny, we have problems in the church that need to be addressed and fixed. True. I agree. We got stuff we need to fix. I go one step further. There are things you don't even know about that I know about that need to be fixed. You have no idea. There's all kinds of stuff. There's never a shortage of things to fix in the church. Well, then you might say, well, why don't we just air them out there? Let's just put it out there. Throw it out there, just do our thing. Let me explain something to you. I've been married 26 years. I was married by your age. If you're 19 years old, I got married at 19. I had two kids by the time I was 21. I was not a disciple. I didn't get premarital counseling. I'm grateful that I became a Christian very young to undo some of the stuff that I learned. But I want you to understand something. I love my wife. Absolutely adore her. She's my best friend. I just can't even function without her. Can't even function without her. But guess what? We have issues. We have problems that we have to work through. You know why? Because we're sinners. You know where you're not going to read about my problems with my wife? Social media. Ever. Ever. Any spiritual husband or wife is never going to post their issues with their spouse online. It is completely ridiculous. Nobody does that. Why would we ever dare entertain and engage with issues on the Bride of Christ online? Why? It's just not right. Again, that doesn't mean there aren't issues. I got issues. I don't need to post them online to fix them. I have very constructive ways to address them. It doesn't mean I'm going to act as if I don't have issues. It doesn't mean that we're going to act as if there aren't issues to fix in the church, that there aren't things that we need to address. It's not like we're saying that. It's not like we even want to act that way. But what it is that social media ain't the place to deal with it. It's just not the place to deal with it. Now, maybe you might be thinking, well, yeah, man, I'm not like one of those folks. I don't post on social media like that. No, what I do is I go off to the side and I talk to people on the side, other disciples that agree with me, and I just bash the church to them. That's better? Listen, I don't need more people to point. I mean, my job is to think about the stuff we got to figure out and change and be different. I think about that all the time. What I want is people that are going to roll up their sleeves and do this in a spiritual way, and let's fix this together. Let's address this in a spiritual way. You know, it's really easy right now. You'll find, I've seen posts, people bashing leaders left and right, and people have no problem. Oh, they just get right now. Oh, yeah, just hop on it. You know good and well, if a leader did that to you, some of y'all be in a corner crying. You know how much stuff I know? Some of the people in my campus ministry, I joke around with them, I knew them when they were in diapers. In diapers, literally, I got stories for days. So why, but I wouldn't never do that because my standard is the Bible. So why should a standard apply to me as a leader, but not to just every disciple? Why? And I'm telling you, I don't think people think about it. They just react and do. This is what people are doing in the world. Caleb, yes, you are one of the campus students I know since you had diapers. And I got a lot of, but I got a lot of stories about Aaron too. I got a lot of stories. You got to ask yourself the approach that you're taking. We're going to talk about a lot of issues in the next few weeks. But the question for you is the approach you're taking to address issues, is it the one that Jesus wants? Or are you just operating the way you feel like it? And that's the question you have to ask. See, Jesus died to make the church holy. Are you working with him or against him? Jesus died to make the church blameless. Are you too busy blaming the church to work towards making it blameless? Now we know we're not blameless, but are you working to make the church blameless or are you just throwing on more blame? Now I'll close out with this. Some of you I know, and you might feel this, and this is real. You might say, well, you know, I'm tired of waiting. I've talked about this. And I'm just tired of waiting to talk about these things. These things are important. I'm tired of waiting. I want to share something with you. One of the things that we did talk about in Central Jersey, really for years now, is race. We had 4 or 5 race workshops over the last 3 years. We have been talking about it long before this past summer when it became the end thing to do. But I'll be honest with you. When we did those race workshops for our church, they weren't heavily attended. And you know what happened that, you know, I remember then the summer hits and we got all the crazy injustices going on in the country. And because we're all in pandemic, we're watching it. And now everybody wants to talk about race. And I got to tell you, for a minute there, and I even told this to the church. I confessed it to the church. I said, listen, I'm going to be honest. Part of me is a little bitter. Because I'm like, where were all of y'all 3 years ago? When we were trying to talk about this. And I'm just confessing, that's what was in my heart. Like, now we want to talk about it, but where were you 3 years ago when we did workshop after workshop after workshop? But let me tell you what I learned about that. What I learned about that is that sometimes my time is not God's time. Because when it's God's time, oh, it's going to get talked about. Because this is his bride. And what I learned is, hey, you know what? We did those workshops and I'm grateful that we did it. Even if it wasn't as attended as I wish. But this is about God's timing. And I'm just being real. Sometimes your time and God's time just don't match. And you got to keep praying and you got to keep persevering. And you got to be like that persistent widow that Jesus talked about. Because sometimes God says not yet. But one thing you can trust is when God says it's time whether you're ready for it or not. And this is where you trust God. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep doing what's right, but I trust you. So I want to encourage you as we embark on these next several weeks. I want you to focus on you first. You do what's right. You examine your own heart. You examine how you are conducting yourself. Be active in building up the church and working with Jesus to make her holy and blameless. Start with you, not with everybody else. Start with you and then work your way out. Be like Jesus and be willing to put it all down for the church, because you really want to build up the church, the bride of Christ, so that more and more each and every day we can be more and more glorious, not to our glory, but to God's glory. I pray that be all of our hearts, that we want to build up the church. That when we see things that are wrong, we see it as opportunity to build up the church and not tear it down. And that we see an opportunity to really lift up God's church at a time like this. The world should be able to look at the church and say, man, you know, the world is operating like this. But look how the church is functioning. That's the call of the hour. And I pray that we answer that call. That's all I wanted to share for you guys today. I pray that this was helpful to you. I'm grateful to be able to have had this time with you. I'll be at all the classes. I will be doing a class in a couple of weeks again, but I'm so grateful for all of you and your hearts. And I pray that we could truly all be partners in this and really helping to build up the church. So I will hand this back off to Rob